Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We've got a couple of texters complaining that we're not giving weather updates. It is freezing cold.
Yes.
It is -7 on my phone, which is the greatest thermometer I own, and it says it feels like -19. So bundle up, and the low today will be -8. We're almost at the low. It could get as high as 2 degrees.
Yes, it could get that high. That would be balmy. But do yourself a favor. I'm watching and looking out below. We're on the 9th floor, and I see people not wearing a hat. Put a hat on.
No, you need a hat. You need a coat. Get your warmest clothes on.
Yes.
And don't walk outside. All right. With enough of our public service announcements, we are delighted to welcome in Jarrett Payton. He's wearing a hat, for God's sake. The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. Hope you're bundled warm.
Man, what's going on? I have to wear a hat, man. I have no hair. So, I mean, I'm wearing a hat, gloves, all that stuff. I'm warming the car before I get outside. But, man, I can't wait for football season to come back around with the news we got yesterday.
Yeah, it's warm in our hearts hearing that the Bears have gotten the hottest young coach on the market. And that is what happened. They didn't bring him in for a second interview. The guy was available. They went out and hired him, and they're paying top dollar, and they're doing un-Bear-like things like getting this done early and paying money to do so.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I love it. I'm excited about the hire. I've been really critical of just the front office of making decisions and saying that they needed to get this right. And I tweeted it out yesterday, like, they did what everybody was hoping that they would do. And so even in those times of being critical, I do give a lot of credit to Kevin Warren, Mr. McCaskey, and then also Ryan Poles for getting this done, because there was those opportunities for him. And I can only imagine what if you were really, truly having phone calls with Tom Brady, and he's calling you, he's the GOAT, and he's telling you, like, yo, come to Las Vegas. We can do some special things. But he decided to stay in the division and to come here to Chicago. So they did exactly what they needed to do to be able to bring him in. So kudos to them.
So if you're in a room with Ben Johnson or his representatives or however you want to describe that first meeting, what do you think you would tell him is the number one priority or the top list of priorities as the new Bears head coach?
Oh, that's a good one, Dave. I mean, I think it's coming in and really assessing all the things that kind of need to be fixed. There's a reason why you're the new head coach. You got things to fix around here. So I think a priority in everybody's mind, I think the one thing is fixing the offense and trying to get the best out of Caleb Williams. And I think that was a big factor for Ben Johnson. I think him and the conversations that I've heard just through people that I know, and then just what we've seen on the surface and videos, that the two really kind of admire each other and what they both do in their respective being a coach and also being a player. And so I think it's trying to find ways to unlock his greatness. I think he's got it. And I think Ben Johnson sees it, and he knows exactly what he wants to do. I think what's more interesting to me is, does Ben Johnson look at Ryan Poles and say, listen, I'm coming only on one thing. We got to fix this offensive line. Like, I can't do what I do until we fix up front. And so I think that had to be a conversation, but and for Ben, I think it's really just fixing this offense, finding someone like a Dennis Allen to be able to, that has head coaching experience to be able to help you on the defensive side, but I don't know, not just help you on the defensive side, but also in those times of need, when you are a first time head coach and you have questions, at least there's somebody that you can lean on. It's on the defensive side, but also has that experience. Because there are going to be some things that you're going to have to ask, so someone to lean on. And I think just kind of figuring this thing out on all three phases, because as much as we talk about offense, we got to also remember, as a head coach, you've got to be able to manage all three phases of the game. And then on your defensive side, I think it all starts in the trenches on both sides of the football. You got to get better. And if you can get better there, it gives you an opportunity to be playing in the meaningful games of football when it gets cold outside.
Yeah, we've had a long conversation about it, and we have agreed that obviously Caleb is a huge selling point, as is the fact that he has developed game plans in the division for the opponents. He knows Detroit really well. There's a familiarity there for him, but without a quarterback, I think you're looking at a real uphill climb, and he clearly values Caleb Williams. What else can you say about it? And you know, as you say, Caleb has expressed, you know, great respect for Ben Johnson. So here's hoping that those two guys get along and really do some good things together.
And Molly, I was just thinking about something else, Dave, to add to your question. But I think about this, where we always talk about, and I've been talking about it, where, you know, you're taking, you know, the hottest offensive mind in the game right now that everybody wanted, but also a division foe, and what they do on offense, you're taking them away from there. But I think you also have a guy, Dave, who, when you look at it, well, you were talking about he knows these defenses. He knows your defense.
Yeah.
He knows the holes of your defense. And I think that's critical, Dave, to your question about how do you get it right, not just on offense, but on defense. He's seen it. He's ran against your defense. He knows the holes. He's beaten your defense. So I feel like that's going to be another added bonus to be able to fix on the defensive side what you need as well. So to me, all around good hire. It's not just about, you know, Ben John. That's the big part now. You got that big part. The coach is a huge part in this. Now it really is. A lot of this falls on the shoulders of Ryan Poles, his staff, of really finding ways with the cap room that they have, a cap available to them, that they can go out and figure this thing out the right way and to put the pieces to the puzzle that need to kind of get this thing moving in the right direction.
Jarrett, knowing the organization and the characters involved as well as you do, what do you think is the biggest reason the Bears bucked convention and did things in a different way than we're used to seeing? They are hiring somebody who they have, by all accounts, not met in person. They're not only agreeing to employ him as a head coach, but they're paying him an exorbitant amount of money based on their previous history. After committing $9 million to pay to Matt Eberflus to go away, this is a financial commitment unlike any they've ever made. What do you think is driving all this, and how surprised are you?
I was a little surprised just by when I heard the news, because I knew that it was going to be a commitment, and I knew with Ben Johnson being on the market, he was going to command top dollar money, and that's the case. And we're not used to that. Totally understand. It hasn't been like that here in Chicago, but Dave, I really think it's they want to win. And I think they were hearing the noise on the outside, hence the reason why they fired Matt Eberflus, something that they've never done to a coach in a long time. So it's like a lot of these things that are all coming to a head, where they were like, we got to get out of this Trace Armstrong hold, and we got to figure out a way to turn this thing around. And I commend them and applaud them on that, because this is not the norm. But from the beginning, I knew that this was their number one candidate that they really, really wanted. And they went out and got him. Like, they went out and got him. And my biggest concern was, what are you selling? Other than Caleb, what are you selling? Because there hasn't been a lot of winning here. So most of the time we're selling the past, which is the 85 Bears and what is done years ago. And what else is there? And there's something that Ben Johnson saw and that he heard in those conversations, where how long it was, how short it was, that he felt like, this is the place for me. And sometimes that's the hardest part, is selling yourself to somebody else. And as much as it was Ben Johnson selling himself, I think it was really the Bears trying to sell who they were and what their vision is for the future. And Ben Johnson said, I want to be a part of that. I want to help get this thing back on track. And so I commend them for not doing the norm, because the norm hasn't worked. And now it's time to do something different. And it's rare that in this town, like for the Bears,
yeah,
to see them, you know, have the number one guy that's out there that everybody wants, and they get him. It's saying something to how they sold this thing to Ben Johnson.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, in a weird way, he's their Craig Counsell, right? Just in turn, yeah. Not with previous experience, but you're willing to pay top dollar for a guy who you want to take over your team and turn it around and change some things. It's kind of incredible when you think of it in those terms. That, I mean, this is the highest paid guy in town. It's incredible.
It is, man. And offensively, what he's been able to do, his resume, when you just look at his resume and his offenses since he's with the OC and and Detroit, I mean, it's how can you not be excited? How can you not be happy? It's I've said this before, the biggest thing now is to get him assembled in some way of building a roster that's kind of similar. It's hard to be similar to what they have in Detroit, but you got to start somewhere and start building this thing so he can do what he does. And that's a lot of the pressure is going to be on Ryan Poles. I mean, hopefully they can do it together, but they can figure out a way to be able to construct this roster the way that he wants to be able to kind of, put his stamp on it here in Chicago. But I mean, we offensive minded guys, man, like I would love to play for Ben Johnson. I'm just telling you right now, the creative ways that he can scheme, it's going to be something different. And I think the relationship between him and Caleb, Man, that has the potential to be special. It really does. It has the potential to be special. And Caleb knows it. Ben knows it. What he's done for Jared Goff has been amazing. But the talents that Caleb has, he's still untapped. And so I'm hoping that they do. This past year, it looked like they gave him too much leeway. Too much, like, here you go. It wasn't just too much on his plate, and it's a lot as a rookie, but it was like, here, do what you do. Like, you're good. Now, I wanted to pull it back a little bit, get this run game going for him, and just play simple football, man. Like, run the football, smash mouse, and then play action pass, do what he does, and let him use his feet, get to the outside, make passes like we've seen, on especially when he rolls out and he can make those unbelievable off-balance throws. Like, keep it simple, man. Keep it simple and let him kind of develop and grow, because I think the stages, he's still got many floors to unlock. It's like a video game. He's just on level one right now. Can he keep unlocking these levels to keep going up? Because I feel like last year this past season, it was like him, you know, when you play Contra, and you used to do, if you played Contra on the old Nintendo, you could do a code to give you like 50 lives before. That's what he did this past season. I want to take that away and work his way up the stages so he can be great.
If you believed after Caleb Williams' rookie season that there were parts of his routine that needed to be improved, and those were some of the whispers you're hearing coming out of Halas Hall at times. Don't know if they're fair, Jarrett. I don't know if they're accurate, but we do know that they're there. Does this make him more diligent, work harder, or does he look at this as maybe an endorsement of the way that he has done things because he's good enough, or he has looked good enough for Ben Johnson to think that he's worth coming to Chicago to coach?
Well, I think at some point when listen, I've never been first overall pick, never won a Heisman Trophy. I can only imagine in this NIL era, coming from college to the NFL, already got money in your pocket. Most of the time, like, I've seen it in other situations where guys come and, you know, this is back before the NIL days, where guys were coming in feeling like I'm already established, I'm already here. And that's not how it works in the NFL. And I think for him, it was just maybe the way that he was handled by people around him. I'm not just saying not his family. I'm just talking about maybe how the organization kind of handled him as a rookie. So I think that's why Thomas Brown, it seemed evident that he was not afraid to tell Caleb when he was wrong. And sometimes, you know, knowing myself as a parent, that's what you have to do to a young kid. To your young kids, you got to tell them sometimes, listen, no, that's not how you do it. Sometimes people are afraid to do that because of maybe just how the situation kind of started in Chicago here for him. So I think it's really ratcheting it back a little bit, Dave. I think he's going to work. I think now he understands. And I also think, too, when you're drafted, you look in the draft class and the guys that come out with you, and especially as quarterbacks, the dudes that went 1 and 2, the guy that's number two that went number two is still playing football right now. And I think people are talking about him as being the best quarterback in that class. And I think that's going to motivate Caleb a little bit. Because that's the whisper. That's all I've been hearing. I posted, and I did this intentionally after the Washington game. I posted, Jaden Daniels is a star. And I wanted to see the comments that were coming. I do these things intentionally, man. And I just saw the remarks. Oh, maybe we got the wrong quarterback. This and this. And I'm like, all right, I'm hoping that Caleb sees this stuff. And I know he sees it. And knowing what I know about him as a competitor, I'm hoping it's going to drive him to stay in the lab, keep getting better. And now that he has someone that truly probably understands him as an offensive mind, that they can figure out the things that he does well, the things that he needs to work on. And hopefully Ben Johnson can figure that out and be that voice of reason for him offensively, that all these quarterbacks around the league that are taking it to a next level, they have that person that they can talk to, that they can confide in when it comes to the offense and football. Hopefully Ben Johnson can be that for Caleb Williams, because he does have these special talents. It better be his motivating factor to want to get better every single year. I believe that's him. I believe he's a guy that's going to get in the lab and take his game to another level.
So, Jared, speaking of getting in the lab, this is a guy who is a mathematician. He majored in math and computer science. He's around Dan Campbell. That guy is Mr. Gopher on fourth down. Given his background in analytics, do you anticipate him taking chances on fourth downs, being aggressive with the offense?
Oh, I definitely do. I think he's going to be. That's when you're around something for so long, you always try. Normally, you bring something with you when you're around somebody who, you know, like a Dan Campbell, or if you're a GM and you've been a new GM and you've been in the organization, you see how things are done. I think he's going to. I think it's gonna take some time, though. I think this is a process. This doesn't fix all the issues. But I think as you get to a certain point where you feel comfortable with your scheme, you feel comfortable with your personnel, that you can do those things. And that's where the Lions are. But that's built through trust. And that's what Dan Campbell has done. He's built that through trust in his relationship with the guys inside of his locker room, that when he says we're going for it on fourth down, that not only does he believe that they're going to get it, the guys on that field believe they're going to get it. So I think over time, as you build that trust, and Ben Johnson builds that trust, then, yeah, I think that's something we'll see him do. But I think that's probably the biggest question mark here that everybody is waiting to see. We know he's a great offensive mind. We know he's a mastermind when it comes to coming up with plays and scheming stuff. I think his biggest hurdle is, not even know if it's a hurdle, but a thing that we'll have to see is, how does he command a whole entire team? Right. How does he command that locker room? And can you find a way to not only be present with his guys on the offensive side, but how is he present with all three phases of football?
Great stuff, Jared. Different. Thank you, buddy.
See you, guys.
See ya.